Hello, everyone, and welcome to Police Off the Cuff, Real Crime Stories. I'm your host, retired NYPD Sergeant Bill Cannon, a 27-year veteran of the NYPD, ready to take on this little caper here. Ruby Frankie's husband, Kevin, files a lawsuit against Jody Hildebrandt. You know, I fully expected once Jody and Ruby pled guilty, that lawsuits against Jody Hildebrandt would start pouring in, not just from Kevin Frankie, but from all of the people with whom Ruby Frankie and Jody Hildebrandt destroyed their lives. Don't forget, Jody Hildebrandt was a counselor giving marital advice. Basically, when she was blowing marriages to smithereens, you know. So I would imagine many attorneys in Utah have already filed their intention to sue her, because apparently she has the means, she has money, and people want her money. But I have mixed feelings about Kevin Frankie. And some of the reasons are because I do not personally fully exonerate Kevin Frankie for fault. And sort of amazingly, he hasn't been charged. He's sort of walked away scot-free. And if folks listening out there can't see his complicity in this, going back to the Eight Passengers YouTube channel, where he was totally a willing participant. How about the fact that he was basically bullied by Jody Hildebrandt? What man would put up with that? She basically threw him out of his house, of course, with the blessing of this little angel you see on the screen. And I say that somewhat sarcastically, Ruby Frankie. She looks so much different in her prison garb without makeup on and all made up with that big toothy smile she usually has than she looks right now. And I don't gloat in anyone's misery. Trust me, I don't. But when you think of two people that more deserved the penalty they got, and I'm not convinced that the penalty that they pled guilty to will be sufficient in this case, because I have a feeling down the road there's going to be some fugaziness in this sentence. Four consecutive sentences of 1 to 15. What does that actually mean, you know? And we won't know until time teaches us what it means. So we'll be holding on to see. So Ruby Frankie, according to ABC News, her husband sues her business partner, Jody Hildebrandt, over child abuse. YouTube vlogger Ruby Frankie's husband, Kevin Frankie, filed a lawsuit against her former business partner, Jody Hildebrandt, over the two women's abuse of two of the couple's four children. Frankie is asking for a jury trial and an unspecified amount of damages. He's accusing Hildebrandt, the founder of Connections Classroom, of emotional distress and negligence toward him and his children due to the abuse of his 11-year-old son and 9-year-old daughter, whose names were not revealed in the suit. Kevin Frankie alleges that his wife moved their four minor children into Hildebrandt's Utah home on or about May 22nd, 2023, without notifying him. Kevin Frankie filed for divorce from Ruby Frankie in November 2023. Ruby Frankie and Hildebrandt each pleaded guilty to four counts of child abuse in Washington County, Utah court in December. In their plea agreements, Frankie and Hildebrandt admitted to inflicting or allowing another adult to inflict serious physical injuries upon Frankie's children between May 2023 and August 2023. They were both sentenced to four consecutive sentences of 1 to 15 years in prison. The amount of time they spend in jail will be up to the Utah Board of Pardons and Parole. So all of this, again, I'm suspect about this sentence. And I'm also suspect about Kevin Franke and his, well, I understand his motives. He wants to get paid. However, what was his involvement in this? And I'm, again, I've always been critical of Kevin Franke. And even as this was going on, before we knew that all these allegations were true. So folks, hold on to your hats, hold on to your seats. You're about to enter true crime from a police perspective. You're about to enter the off-the-cuff zone, the police off-the-cuff zone.
There has to be some common sense.
Yes, sir. They have the car stopped in 10th and Grant, Michael
Biden. We still don't know who pulled the trigger.
Well, undoubtedly, this is the first of many lawsuits about to be filed against Jody Hildebrandt.
In the Ruby Franke, Jody Hildebrandt child abuse case, Ruby Franke's husband filed a new complaint, part of a lawsuit against Jody Hildebrandt today. This is that document. Kevin Franke has been actively trying to get custody of four of their children, including the two that were being held in Ivins at Jody Hildebrandt's home. Now, today, through his attorney, Randy Kester, Kevin filed a lawsuit against Jody Hildebrandt, which says it's based on the effects that her actions had on the children and on Kevin. Now, before we move forward, I didn't get to do this at 5 o'clock, so I want to read part of the complaint that's pretty interesting. It says, towards the bottom of the basis of facts and general allegations, the children's personalities, emotions, and psyches were so damaged and altered that it was beyond the father's capability to restore them without professional intervention of state's resources through the juvenile court. They go on to talk about the needs of the children. A next line here says, the intentional and or neglect acts of the defendant, who is Jody, have completely damaged and altered for the worse Kevin's marriage. The children's mother is in prison. All of his children's individual psyches, personalities, behaviors, essentially dismantling, exploding his family and his personal life. Based thereon, Kevin for action alleges as follows. So what is Kevin Franke hoping to get out of this? Well, three causes of action. Here they are. There are outlined bullet points underneath each of these in this document. Intentional infliction of emotional distress, negligent infliction of emotional distress, negligence. Those are the three. Here is some of what else was written basically in this complaint. In the first cause of action, it's written that Jody acted with reckless disregard of the probability of causing emotional distress to Kevin and to each of Kevin's children. In the second cause of action, it's written that Jody's acts led to Kevin suffering past and future non-economic damages, pain and suffering, emotional distress, loss of quality of life and loss of enjoyment of life. In the negligence cause of action, which is the final of the three, it's written that Kevin is entitled to all economic damages as may be established. Now, there's a lot to digest and a lot of lawyer speak to look through, but Kevin's attorney, Randy Kester, shared this statement with me today on behalf of Kevin Franke. It reads, quote, this lawsuit marks a significant step in our journey towards seeking justice for myself and my children against the abuses inflicted by Ms. Hildebrandt. This is written in the perspective of Kevin Franke. It continues to say, Ms. Hildebrandt weaponized her authority and professional training to cause tremendous harm and damage to myself, my children, and my family. Finally, I'm committed to doing everything I possibly can to ensure that this dangerous woman can never harm another individual again and to seek the long-term healing and welfare of my children. So, in terms of relief, which is towards the end of this document, Kevin is asking for judgment against Jody for past, present, and future special damages, as it's written, pain and suffering, losses and harms, and all other general damages, for exemplary and punitive damages, and for pre-judgment and post-judgment interests, costs, attorney fees, basically money. You can read the complaint on our website right now if you'd like to decipher through some of the jargon.
So, folks, I see a lot of you guys in the chat, and I'm not forgetting at all that the Church of LDS is somehow rearing their head in the background here. And don't forget, they were the ones that referred clients to Jody Hildebrand, didn't they? So I'm not at all thinking that they don't have some influence here, that they're not exerting their power, their influence. That's why I'm very suspect of these sentences. The sentences that were, that Jody and Ruby Frankie pled guilty to, because 1 to 15 times 4 consecutive, could that be 4 years? It's 1-2. And the judge is not the one who decides the sentence. It's not the judge at all. It's the Board of Pardon, or the Parole Board. So think of the political influences potentially that could occur here. The other thing is, and we mentioned Kevin Frankie, he is not an innocent person in this case at all. And when you see him and his history in this case, and the fact that for 21 months, he swore that he didn't know where his children were. He had no idea. What kind of father is that? So he didn't find out where his children were. He was kicked out. He was told that he was a bad person because he viewed porn. And he was basically banished to bogey land over that with this woman, Jody Hildebrand. And now all of a sudden he's got his strength and he's going to sue. When he was interviewed by the police, I think it showed a lot of his character, or lack thereof. I want to play a little bit of the interview here.
How about this? We're going to ask you some questions, and if you don't want to answer them, you just say, hey, man, I'm not going to answer that.
Sure.
And just say, hey, I'm not going to talk. That's not beneficial to you, and then we're done. You're nowhere, and we're nowhere. And...
Sure.
You understand that, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so just for starters, what was your full name?
Kevin William Frankie.
How is that?
KevinWilliamFranke.
And what's your date of birth?
Obviously, it's muted because he's not allowed to say the names of his children.
Well, I'm not comfortable giving my address right now.
Okay. But you do live in Springville?
I do.
How long have you lived in Springville for?
I moved there in 2007 with my family. So,
okay. And how many?
17 years.
17. And how many kids do you have, Kevin?
I have 6 kids.
And what are their names?
Again, they're asking for the names of the children, and that's why it's being muted right now. It'll come back on as soon as he gets past that. It was muted by Law and Crime.
Makes sense that that would happen. I'm just not aware of anyone who did that from our department.
Right. And I'm not comfortable saying right now who reached out to me.
Okay. So... you haven't seen any of your kids in over a year, you said?
That's correct.
And then, what was the last time you saw her? How old is she now?
15.
She's 16? Okay. And then, when all the kids left, Ruby took all of them?
She stayed in the house and I moved up.
Okay. And did you ever try to reach out to the kids, drop by the home, or... was there?
I honored the separation boundary that we agreed to.
So, what
That is amazing to me that he admits there that he never dropped by to see the kids. This was over a 21-month period that it was part of the separation agreement. What weak man would agree to those terms of a separation agreement that I don't get to see my kids? Because he was diagnosed by this psychotic Jody Hildebrand, who you see on the screen, as being afflicted with some kind of porn disease, you know? So this psycho who you see on the screen, and he accepted that. And we're supposed to accept it that he's not. Well, look, I don't blame him for suing. He should take every penny from her. So should everyone else that was hurt by this lady, Jody Hildebrand. But how about now? How do we feel in the chat about him getting custody of the children? How do we feel about that? Tell you how I feel about it. I don't feel good about it. I don't think he deserves custody of the children. Handsome devil, handsome devil 13. Can men be brainwashed? I think he was. I think he was absolutely brainwashed. And I think Jody Hildebrand definitely has learned in her training, wherever she got it from, some techniques of mind control, some that she was able to control people through their mind and through, I think she was trained in that. She's an evil woman. Let's watch Kevin again.
What was your separation? Did you have a no contact order in place?
Order? No, this was between my wife and I.
So what did Ruby ask of you when you separated?
What did she ask of me?
Did she ask you not to contact the kids?
Ruby invited me to leave the home. Mm-hmm. While I thought about the choices that I've made in my life and the way that I've treated her.
Okay.
And so I left.
And how long had you and Ruby been married before?
We were married in 2000.
So about 22 years?
When we separated, we were going on 22 years.
Yes. Okay. And during your marriage, how was disciplining your kids? How would you discipline your kids?
I'm not going to answer that question.
Okay, that's fine.
Have you been since separated or since they lived here in the city of Ivins? Have you communicated with your wife regarding like discipline with your kids or their care or their physical well-being?
No.
So is she doing this on her own and just telling you how your kids are?
She's not telling me anything about the kids.
Who's this female Jody that your wife lives with? Do you know a female named Jody?
She is a therapist and a life coach, I know. And she's...
Do you respect her?
Do I respect her? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think she's a very honest, truthful person, yeah.
That is so scary that in this interview, he says that he respects Jody Hildebrand, the woman who he is now suing, but he so respects her, but he likes her money though. And he speaks in this interview like a man who is brainwashed. Oh, he had to work on some of the life choices that he's made. And I'm going to punish myself because Jody Hildebrand told me I was a bad person. That sounds like someone to me who was brainwashed by this psychotic woman who so many people are going to be taking a piece of, you know. I think she'll get punished more by a civil court than she will by the criminal court, because certainly for what she was convicted of, she... In my opinion, she got a light sentence, because I'm not convinced those 1 to 15 consecutives are going to be any more than one for each one. So that could be 4 years. So I'm concerned with that. And so all these people are going to come out of the woodwork suing Jody Hildebrand to take a piece of her estate. This is from Law and Crime.
The court ordered that Jody could sell her home, but has to place $100,000 in escrow to satisfy that restitution. So he wanted her to be on the hook for the help that these children need. But also B, now that the criminal case is over and Jody has admitted guilt, it would be much easier to prove liability in a civil case. That's my opinion. Well, let's get into the complaint. So after laying out the parties and the court's jurisdiction over this, the complaint lays out the facts of the case. And it says, quote, while plaintiff was residing in Utah County, beginning on or about May 22nd, 2023, defendant, in collaboration with plaintiff's then wife, Ruby Frankie, also mother of these four children, moved the four minor children to defendant's home in Ivins, Utah. So all four children were there. Remember, this was during their apparent separation. Quote, neither defendant nor Ruby Frankie advised plaintiff of the removal of the children from the family home in Springville, Utah, to defendant's home in Ivins, Utah. Again, according to Kevin, he had no idea what was happening with Frankie and his kids at this time. Then Kevin Frankie incorporates into this complaint almost verbatim the disturbing details of abuse that were laid out in Ruby and Jody's plea agreements about these two youngest children. By the way, we're talking about EF and RF. EF was 9 years old, and RF, this abuse occurred over the span of when he was 11 to 12. So these two youngest children were confined to the home. The women inflicted serious physical injuries on the children. There was torture. There was physical labor. They were standing out in the heat, denial of food and water, isolation. Frankie's son was tied up. They were told that they were evil, that they had to repent. The kids were emaciated. They suffered severe wounds. Honestly, I don't even want to go into it any further. We have already done that so many times, but you get the idea. And from there, the complaint goes on to say how when Ruby's son was finally able to escape and run to that neighbor's home, this son, RF, quote, requested from the neighbor food, water, and that law enforcement be called so he could be taken to jail. This latter request was because he had been so indoctrinated by defendant that if he escaped, he would go to jail. Yeah, that is a theme.
You know, that is like so scary when you hear that, because Jody Hildebrandt had a niece named Jessie Hildebrandt, and she made very similar allegations years before this about Jody Hildebrandt. And some way, Jody Hildebrandt was protected. And I believe she was protected by the church. And that is why I have no confidence that Jody or Ruby will serve these sentences. I think that in some way, they're going to figure out how to get off for good behavior and some way to get these sentences lessened. Well, they have to do, you know, one of the 1 to 15. But when we know the information and what they pled guilty to, they didn't just, there's no doubt they did it. But when you listen to their jailhouse phone calls, you would think they were the ones that were the victims in this case, not these kids. They were. So that's why I also think they do not get the message here. They do not understand what the hell is going on here. And that's why I think they need to be punished to the maximum severity of the law.
Admitted to the hospital for severe malnourishment, his body being emaciated, and for treatment of his many and serious wounds and injuries. Then the complaint talks about EF, Ruby's young daughter, and describes something that we saw on body cam video. Quote, after searching defendant's home, EF was eventually located in a closet of the home sitting on the floor. First responders and law enforcement found her in an emaciated, food-deprived condition, and although conscious, was so emotionally traumatized and afraid that she would not communicate with them. Only after hours of reassuring her safety, calming her fears, and offering her food, she ate an entire pizza and part of another, were they able to coax her out of the closet so she could be taken to the hospital to treat her injuries, malnourishment, and emotional state. Yeah, that was some of the most harrowing footage that we saw. And the officer initially, by the way, believed that EF was a boy because her hair was so short. There was evidence to suggest from Ruby's journal entries that she cut her daughter's hair as a form of punishment. We cover a lot of lawsuits here on Sidebar, like this one from Kevin Franke. And that actually brings me to Morgan & Morgan. Only takes a few minutes. So if you're in custody, didn't know that they're separated, that is very, very sad to think about that they're not together. And this part is especially tough. Quote, the children's personalities, emotions, and psyches were so damaged and altered that it was beyond father's capability to restore them without professional intervention of state's resources through the juvenile court. This, through a rehabilitation and restorative process directed and prescribed by the professionals treating the children. In order to restore his children to his care in their family home, meaning how he's going to get back custody, father himself has complied with the court process and has affirmatively sought his own regimen of professional therapy in order to coordinate not only with the children's treatment providers, but to gain an understanding of his children's conditions and needs and how to best facilitate the restoration of all of his children back to their former status as happy and healthy individuals and of a happy and intact family in their family home. In other words, it will take a lot of work for both Kevin and the kids to get back to themselves and a path of recovery after all of this. And the consequence of what Jody did was foreseeable. Foreseeability is such a major element in these kinds of civil suits. You knew this would happen, or you should have known this would happen. Which brings me to the actual claims or causes of action in the lawsuit. Under what theories is he suing? Okay, cause of action number one, intentional infliction of emotional distress. This is a very broad kind of legal claim. And what he's arguing here is that Jody engaged in, quote, severe and intolerable conduct and acted with, quote, reckless disregard of the probability of causing emotional distress to Kevin and the kids. So you don't have to show that Jody intended to cause Kevin or the kids emotional distress. Not that she necessarily wanted that to occur, but that she recklessly disregarded the chances of Kevin and the kids suffering emotional distress because of what she did. And he says he did, in fact, suffer emotional distress. And as a direct and proximate result of defendants' wrongful actions and omissions, Kevin has suffered past and future economic, non-economic damages, pain and suffering, emotional distress, loss of quality of life, and loss of enjoyment of life. So damages, by the way, that's money. That's what you should be compensated. And the causation element, the direct and proximate result, that's causation. What Jody did caused Kevin's harm. And this is what that harm is. And this is what he lost. All essential in a civil claim.
So, look, obviously, Kevin Franke, I think, you know, I cannot see him even remotely losing a lawsuit like this, but I go back to his own culpability. And not that that has anything to do with this civil suit, but it does have something to do with whether or not he gains custody of his children. Should he get custody of his children? I mean, I'm very conflicted about, no, I'm actually not conflicted. I don't think he should get custody of his children. I think that he's not perhaps as culpable, but he absolutely shares some responsibility in this, that he wasn't strong enough to take on Jody Hildebrandt, wasn't strong enough to take on his wife. And I find that extremely egregious that he couldn't take on this evil woman you see on the screen there. And actually both of them are evil. Ruby's also evil. Ruby and Jody. And I just can't help but think there's got to be, and we did a show on this a while ago, the elephant in the room. And the elephant in the room is the church. Absolutely is the damn church. That they're in some way protecting Jody Hildebrandt and Ruby Franke and perhaps penalizing Kevin Franke. He was a professor at Brigham Young University. Who runs Brigham Young University? Anyone that lives in Utah knows that. It's the church runs BYU. So did Kevin Franke lose his job because of this going on? Elaine McKenzie, his kids, his kid would be at risk under Kevin's care. He's too mentally unfit and weak to take care of them. Elaine, I sort of agree with you. Debbie McCarthy, he was included in some of the BS that was done during their 8 passenger days. 100%. And that's why I'm saying he's not the innocent person. But will this have an effect on the civil suit? Nina Shendror, LDS is a weird religion, scary even. Well, what's the scariest to me about this is that they were referring clients to Jody Hildebrandt. That's the scariest thing to me. Absolutely. Folks, this is Police Off the Cuff, Real Crime Stories. If you like real crime, true crime from a police perspective, then you're in the right place. And if you're not subscribed to us, go to our YouTube, hit that subscribe button, give us a thumbs up, hit the like button, share us with your friends and family. If you want to contribute to us financially, we have a Patreon with 3 different levels, and we also have a YouTube channel membership with, count them, 5 different levels. And we appreciate all you guys who are our channel members, our friends, our subscribers. And that's what keeps this show going and keeps this hopefully wonderful content. You know, I always, Pauline Buckles, the 2 children should be asked who they want to live with, excluding Jody and Ruby, of course. You know, Pauline, I think one of the things they should do is that they, in any petition for Kevin Franke to gain custody, I think they should interview the older kids. The older kids, the daughter who, in fact, he tried to have her arrested. Remember that? When she searched, had their house searched with the police to get clothing and stuff for the other kids. And Kevin Franke was trying to have her arrested. So he's not the angel that he's purporting to be now because he wants money, right? Shari, his oldest daughter, who we should ask her. Shari and Chad, do you think your father's a fit father for the younger kids? I bet you we'd all be surprised as to what they say, or perhaps not surprised. You know, guys, I don't want to just put my own opinion in here. I want to ask you guys, if you think that Kevin Franke should absolutely get custody of the children, the younger children, put a 1 in the chat. If you think he's a fit parent and should get custody of the younger children, put a 1 in the chat. If you think he's unfit and he's complicit in a lot of things that happened and he should not get custody, put a 2 in the chat. I'm just interested to see what you guys think. I'm seeing some, the votes are coming in and I'm seeing more 2s. I'm not seeing any 1s yet. Barking at the moon. You got a lot of 2s in there. Handsome Devil thinks he should get custody. Elizabeth Salvatore. The LDS believes Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan, the created beings and God of his own planet. He graduated to after God. The father moved him off his planet, Kolob. That's just basics, fact. Well, I'm not sure, Elizabeth Salvatore, what even to make of that. So I'm seeing a lot of 2s. There was a couple of 1s, I think, the Handsome Devil from Brooklyn put a 1, but everyone else in the chat, and I happen to agree, I'm 2. This is the when Jody Hildebrandt was sentenced. This is the judge speaking to Jody here.
Child abuse to which she has pleaded guilty. The sentence was agreed to her in her plea agreement and is also recommended by adult probation and parole. Ms. Hildebrandt committed awful acts of child abuse. From May to August 2023, she and her business partner held 2 children, ages 9 and 11, turning 12, in a concentration camp-like setting in her house in Ivan City. The children were regularly denied food, water, beds to sleep in, and virtually all forms of entertainment. They were isolated from others and were hidden when people came to visit the house. They were forced to do physical tasks like carrying loaded boxes up and down stairs and doing wall sits or sitting against a wall without assistance of a chair or stool for hours at a time. They were forced to do manual labor outdoors in the extreme summer heat, often without shoes or socks. They were also forced to stand outside on a cement patio in the summer heat for hours and even days. They were beaten, and the 12-year-old was regularly bound hand and foot after he attempted to run away in mid-July. Both children had extensive physical injuries from the abuse that required hospitalization to treat. The injuries from the bindings are particularly bad. In addition to the physical abuse, the children were emotionally abused. They each believed to some degree that they deserved what was being done to them. Had the older of the two children not had the courage to run away and ask a neighbor to call the police, heaven only knows how much longer he could have survived. After being caught, Ms. Hildebrandt has shown little to no remorse for her actions. In telephone conversations that will be provided in full to the Board of Pardons and Parole, and which she knew to be recorded, she's repeatedly claimed that she is the victim and the children are the perpetrators. She has gone so far as to say that the things said in this proceeding and covered by the media today will be full of lies. The combination of three factors make Ms. Hildebrandt a significant threat to the community. First, the severity of the abuse she caused to be inflicted on young children. Second, her attitude that everything she did was justified and that she is being wrongfully imprisoned. And third, her training as a therapist and aptitude for using online resources to convince others to follow her guidance. Utah Code Section 76.3.401 lays out three factors the court should consider in determining whether to impose concurrent or consecutive sentences. The first is the gravity and circumstances of the offense. The second is the number of victims. And the third is the history, character, and rehabilitative need of the defendant. As agreed to in the plea agreement and as recommended by Idaho Probation and Parole, consecutive sentences are appropriate here. This is due to the severity of the abuse to the two victims and the extreme need for Ms. Hildebrandt to be rehabilitated so that she no longer will present a risk to the community. The state respectfully requests that she be sentenced to four consecutive terms.
Thank you, Mr. Clark. Mr. Terry.
Thank you, Your Honor. I will be brief.
We don't really want to hear what the defense attorney says because, after all, let's face it, she pled guilty, didn't she? You know, in New York, a defendant that pleads guilty has to allocute. And what does that mean? That means the defendant has to admit to each and every charge and say in great detail that they did it intentionally or recklessly or criminally negligently. They have to admit to that in court so that later on, if they decide, oh, I want to appeal this, they can't deny what they said because they swore to it in court. They raised their hand and they swore and they pled guilty and they're asked in front of the court, did anyone threaten you or make you take this plea? No. And that's why an allocution is a great thing because it's one of the most important things so that, again, in the case of a defendant trying to appeal, it is tremendously, tremendously important. You know, one of the things that baffles me too about this case, not just baffles me, but you could see how disingenuous the pleas of both Ruby Frankie and Jody Hildebrandt were by listening to Ruby Frankie's telephone calls to Kevin Frankie. Let's listen to a little bit of this.
That is the most horrible feeling. Like my own family misunderstands me. They misinterpret me. And poor Jody, they misinterpret her. They misunderstand her. She puts her neck out on the line for people and then they get mad at her. I mean, it is just horrendous. It's horrendous. And you know what? Every Joseph Smith, every wonderful man of God has had to be misunderstood.
That's right.
And so I'm going to get out of this. Who knows? Maybe in 10 days I'll get out of this. If I'm, you know, if truth prevails, right now, or, you know, who knows, like 20 years? I don't know. I don't know how long, but I'm going to step out. I'm going to say I went through everything I have seen God's children suffer. All the people here, my jail cellmates, have been beautiful women, but they've been hurt. You know, they've been deceived into drugs, and my heart is just has so much compassion for them. And I have compassion for the cops, and I have compassion for myself. And then to be told that I'm suicidal, I'm like, no, no, that's not true. Anyway, if you need to let
Sherry, that was either Sherry or one of your siblings.
Well, they're all in cahoots. One means all of them, but yes, you're right. In your hearing, I don't know if you've considered this. I don't know if it'd be helpful, but you could have the house. And if, well, and if all the kids go to the house, you've got room there, and I will gladly stay away and let you guys be. So I don't know if that's helpful. I'm just giving it to you if it is.
Thank you. And in the discussions with my attorney, that's the only way that we're going to retain custody of the children.
That's fine.
He is 35 years in this, and he said, even if you are acquitted and are released, they will place legal restrictions on your access to the under 18 children.
I figured such. God told me when I was driving before I called you. I didn't have any information. I didn't know anything. And the Spirit said, your children are going to be removed. And I cried out loud. I'm like, no, I'm not done. I'm not ready. And God told me I'm done. And I just. So. Satan has taken everything away from me that I love.
Did you hear that one? Satan's taken them away from me. I think this is a psychotic woman, to tell you the truth. Not Satan. You're Satan. It's a brainwashing that we don't really see too often. But this is definitely a brainwashing. There she is claiming in a phone call to her husband, who's divorced her, that, you know, she and Jody Hildebrandt are the ones, the victims in this, not the children. She feels sorry for women that are in prison.
And I'm a good woman. I don't do naughty things. I don't do naughty things. I'm a really good girl.
Ruby, I'm going to do everything that I can to keep truth in our family. And
thank you.
I'm committed to our family. I'm committed to you and our marriage, no matter what happened.
Thank you.
I will be here to support you in any way that I can.
Well, thank you for stepping up.
This is the same woman that tried to swindle him out of their house. I need you to sign over the paperwork to our house. And this idiot was almost ready to do it till he came to his senses. And here he is telling her he's fully in support of her as she faces 4 1-15 consecutive terms in prison. He's fully going to support her.
You need to go, but okay.
All right.
Call me back when or if you need.
When will you find out? How can I call you? When should I call so I find out what they say?
I don't know how long this will go, but if you call this afternoon, I will know. This is a preliminary hearing, so there will be no.
Okay. Well, it's hard to get a phone around here. I asked for a phone, and it took hours to get it, so it may not be until later tonight. Okay.
That's fine.
Okay. All right. Good luck. I will be praying for you.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
You know how he still even talks to his ex. You know, and I'm sure that in regards to the civil lawsuit, she'll be brought forth too as either as a witness. But can you see her being a witness against against Jody Hildebrandt? I can't see her testifying against. She's still brainwashed by Jody Hildebrandt. She's still speaking about her in warm terms. You know, it's Nina Chandra, is he supposedly sincere or is he in with the cops that's being recorded by law enforcement or his lawyer to use against her in court? Nina, she's already pled guilty. So anything to do with that, no, that's not. I mean, the only thing that will go forward now is, of course, the civil case. But the defendant, they all know that these calls are recorded. So, yeah, I mean, they'd be so stupid to say anything that could be held against them. I want to just play into the, this is my favorite scene in this entire case. And it's when the police go to Jody Hildebrandt's house. And they didn't have a search warrant. They were there under the emergency exception. They were there to respond to reports of abuse. And I love how Jody Hildebrandt was so on the phone, so confident. I'm on the phone with my attorney. Oh, my God, an attorney. Let's run the other way. An attorney. We're so afraid. But you know something? In police work and in everything in this life, knowledge is power. And when you know you're right, I don't care if they have the dream team on the phone. I'm going in that house because it's called the emergency exception to a search warrant. And let's just, with that in mind, let's just watch this right now.
Got movement right here?
Right there.
Contact. Got movement. Open the door! Jody? I need you to step out.
I have my attorney.
That's great. Step out of the house.
No, I'm not going to step out of the house.
Step out of the house.
Step out of the house.
Whoa.
We're just going to
step out. Whoa.
Is there
going to be a phone? Wait a minute. How do you come to my house?
Right there.
Look, they come into my house.
So have a seat right there.
Do you have a search warrant?
Have a seat right there.
Do you have a search warrant?
Have a seat right there.
All of a sudden, she's an attorney
I'll
now.
Explain everything after. Have a seat right there.
Do you have a search warrant, sir?
Control 12X11. Can you hold the air? We're searching the house.
I can tell you what's in the house.
Okay. Just have a seat right there for me.
Do you have a search warrant?
We'll explain it after this.
You can't just come into my house without a search warrant.
We'll explain everything after this, ma'am.
I just think this is, I know you, many people that have watched this have seen this a million times, but it says so much about Jody Hildebrandt and who she is. You know, she knew what was in that house. She knew what they were going to find in that house, but yet she gave that whole performance. Do you have a search warrant? I have my attorney on the phone. Oh my God. Oh, we'll run away because you have an attorney on the phone. Is it Jacoby and Myers? Whoever it is, you know, we're still going into your house. And folks, if in case you don't know, there's something called the emergency exception to a search warrant. And they were there on a call of imminent danger to some children. So with that, you go to the location under the emergency exception and you can go through the house and searching for the children. Once they find the children and they secure the children, then the emergency is over. They remove the children. If they're satisfied, there's no other children in there. And then if they want to continue searching after the emergency is over, then they would need a search warrant. But under these circumstances, it's carried under the emergency exception to a search warrant. So in essence, they don't need a search warrant because they're there to find the children. And, you know, when we saw some of the things in this home, you know, they showed the, here's that room with that safe where one of the children was allegedly locked in. And then some of the things that they found in that home that just were horrific. And thank God that this is what put an end to this. This put an end to this put an end to the reign of Ruby Frankie and Jody Hildebrandt, that the law was able to jump in and the law was able to jump in and stop these two, because what would have stopped it otherwise? There had been many reports of this before, but yet it was never stopped. Daryl Hicks, my house, the bank's house. Jody's upside down in the house. Lieutenant Pete, yep, Bill, got to make entry. Yes, Lieutenant Pete's talking about the emergency exception to a search warrant. Handsome Devil, the last part of Kevin's interrogation, describing the falling through a black hole and nightmare as it hits him, is pretty intense. You know, Handsome Devil 13, I'm not impressed with anything of that Kevin. I think Kevin Frankie's a weak individual, and it's sort of pathetic to me. A man that didn't fight for his children, let this really overbearing woman take over his family and, in essence, destroyed his family. Elizabeth Salvatore, I love how God can visit your evil back in you. She wrongly imprisoned these children, and now they're the ones who can't escape their prison. Elizabeth Salvatore, you're 100% correct. They can't, can they? You know, also in this whole caper, this was a team. This was Ruby Frankie and Jody Hildebrandt. It wasn't one or the other. They were a team of two misfits that abused not just children, but other people too. Could you imagine Jody Hildebrandt being your therapist? What is she going to heal? You know, just absolutely scary. And again, we look at Ruby Frankie. And at one point, this woman was on top of the world. This woman had a podcast with, some reports are, 2 million subscribers. 2 million. She was on top of the world. And the only reason that podcast went down was because many people complained that there was a lot of abuse toward the children in this podcast. So that's the history of this. You know, that's the history of Ruby Frankie. And then what does she do? She joins hands with this sicko you see on the screen, Jody Hildebrandt. And they become a team of abusers, right? Giving life advice to people. Wouldn't they be the last persons on this earth you would take life advice from?
I mean, I'm not asking any criminal questions. If you don't want to talk to us, just let us know and we'll be done.
I've already told you.
You want a lawyer? Okay. Easy enough.
Thank you.
When I'm watching this, by the way, I can't help but be reminded of what Ruby said during her sentencing. You might remember this. Remember when she said that she was taught that the world was an evil place and it was filled with cops who control? That might be why she's not saying anything. That might be why she seems to have this distrust of law enforcement or doesn't want to talk to them. If she was under that distorted belief, there you go. But let's also talk about the video of Jody's interrogation.
I'm a little nervous.
You're You know, to be honest with you, if I was sitting over there, I'd be a little nervous too. So don't worry about it. We're just here to talk, to your side.
I watched too many detective movies.
How are you?
So I trust my attorney. He said, don't say anything. And I said, I have nothing to hide. And he's like, I know that. Just let me be there with you when we talk. So you guys seem nice people.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to hide anything. I'm not trying to be difficult. This is really, if you knew all the pieces, I think you'd have a lot of empathy for what's going on. I'd like to just tell you, but I don't know who you are. I don't know if you're going to flip my words. I don't know.
And that's the good thing about cameras. Everything, it's pretty much double recorded, audio, video, and it's for the safety of for you and for us, because we don't want to flip your words. And this will all be pretty much right there to support you. So we're not going to use anything against you.
My attorney would be so insistent then. He's an honest, good man, goes to church. I trust him. Why would he say that to me then?
I don't know your attorney, to be honest.
Well, I'm just saying he's a good, honest man.
Yeah, I don't
and know. I'm an honest person as well. So we get along great. And he just said, do not say anything. I'm a psychologist. I've watched people flip things all the time. So I get it.
And she's not a psychologist, by the way. That would imply she's a PhD, and she's not. I think she's got like an MSW, so she's not a psychologist.
I sit on your side. I get it. I wish people didn't do that, but they do.
And one of the final videos we got was of officers taking Ruby Frankie and Jody Hildebrandt to jail.
All right, I'm going to have you stand up, all right? Thank you. Go ahead and face this officer. Go ahead and put your hand on top of your head. Lean on your finger, please. Thank you. Just put your hands on top of your head. You're good. Look to your left. Okay. Thank you.
So Rick, we'll get you a card when you can get with Adam's schedule left, okay?
I have a schedule left. If you guys are on the phone.
We'll give you a card with the phone number.
You can go out the front door to my vehicle out there. Hop on in. I'll help you if you need.
I had a crash on the right side of my shoulder.
Okay. All right. Step up, please. Thank you. Go and face that officer. Put your hands on top of your head, please. And unless your fingers. Thank you. On top of your head. Look to your left. Thank you. I just don't want to hit you in the head on accident with the cup. Okay. Go down.
This is Ruby Frankie being taken into custody.
Makes you want to let you know what criminal charges for, so you're under arrest.
She seems a bit obstinate.
Two counts.
Yeah, this is the real Ruby for sure. Abuse. Debbie McCarthy. Okay.
Do you understand that or no? Are you okay? I'm wondering if there's like a medical clearance that needs to, like, do you need medical attention before you go to the jail? Okay.
For the malnourishment, you guys are in direct custody of these kids. Okay, do you have any questions for me at this time? No questions? Okay, you can open.
Now, we also received a lot of photos from Utah authorities in this document dump. Many of them show the inside and outside of Jody Hildebrandt's home in Ivins. The house itself is huge, with staircases, corridors, doors, every direction the police looked at as they searched the home. We never really got a good grasp of what this house was like until now. Some of the photographs show evidence that investigators were compiling against the women, including pictures of the duct tape, rope, gauze, the cayenne pepper and honey solution that they used to treat wounds. Other pictures showed pantries full of food that the children were clearly not allowed to eat. And still, there were these other photos that showed the actual wounds to both RF and EF. And I will tell you, they are just too graphic to show. It's too much. And as we've mentioned, RF still had duct tape on his ankles and wrists when he was taken to the hospital with what appeared to be infected wounds underneath. And I'll say this, these wounds, seeing them, worse than I could have imagined. Now, Ruby Frankie's journal entries, that's what we're going to get into next. This was one of the largest documents released in this massive information dump. It is a 60-page journal, apparently written by Ruby Frank. Not only does it give a timeline of events, but it records the brutal treatment of these two children. Some parts of the journal have been completely blacked out by officials. They've been redacted, but what remains, it really leaves nothing to the imagination. At the beginning of the journal, on a page titled Timeline, the journal says that Jody received a blessing from the temple president on May 21st, 2023. Then Ruby, along with her four minor age children, went down to Jody's house to do, quote, spring cleaning. The first mention of punishments for RF are on June 30th, 2023, when the journal states, quote, he refuses to do wall sits and says he's done. The next day, it's noted that RF has to sleep outside. On July 14th, we have our first mention of EF. It states, E refuses to work, screams, has hair shaved off. It also states that the next day, RF ran away in the middle of the night, and Ruby found him a couple hours later. So clearly not his first escape attempt. So then there are several redacted pages, and then the journal seems to jump back in time to a little bit to July 9th and July 10th. On the 10th, the journal states, quote, it's R's birthday, and he doesn't even know what month it is. E and R have been in so much deviant behavior, they won't control their bodily functions. They are both furious. Their selfish, sinful lifestyle is being intervened upon. I told R he emulates a snake. He slithers and sneaks around looking for opportunities when no one is watching, and then he scurries. If he wants to emulate the Savior, he needs to be 100% obedient with exactness, no wavering, no hiding.
Wow. Is that not the scariest thing that you've seen in this case? I mean, it's like religious dogma taken to an extreme, controlling the behavior of children through really claiming that they're the ones with the problem, when really the problem from these two adults that Handsome Devil 13th, covert narcissist psychopaths. I 100% agree. Candy Kitten, wow, those poor children. Yeah. You know, this, of course, the show started out with this being the gist of it, that Ruby Frankie's husband is, Ruby Frankie's husband is going to sue Jody Hildebrandt. And then when we look into their Ruby and Jody Hildebrandt's behavior, it's just, it's really tough to read into this stuff. It's just, it's pathetic that we see the behavior of these two. And as I said numerous times before, I'm concerned, even though they pled guilty, I'm concerned that once the spotlight is taken off these two, that some fugaziness, to use a New York word, behind the scenes could occur, and these two could wind up getting out early. Because don't forget, we spoke about the elephant in the room, and they have friends in powerful places, you know. They have friends that have their back. They have friends that were condoning what they were doing. Christine Hathaway Coley, he didn't even ask about the kids when he spoke to Ruby. There's no right to custody or money. Remember, he wanted to sue his daughter. Yeah, I mentioned that, Christine. He wanted to sue his daughter, his oldest daughter, Sherry, which was sort of pathetic, you know, absolutely. So, the civil suit against Jody Hildebrandt, I'm sure will be proceeding, and we should expect to see numerous civil suits. I think that she's going to be sued by everyone she gave horrific advice to, every family she broke up with her advice. Lou Lemaraco and Elsa Ellerup gets a seven-figure deal. Something is very wrong here. Lou, I totally agree with you with that. And for you guys who don't know, Asa Ellerup is the wife of Rex Uemmann, the arrested perpetrator in the Gilgo Beach serial killer case. So, yeah, well, it's hard to compare any of these cases. You're sort of comparing apples and oranges, and it's not the same thing, but I could see the parallel that you drew from there. So, folks, you think of this $5 million house. Someone else may own that one day, because surely that's going to be a target of the civil suits, of the money that Jody Hildebrand has. And we think of Ruby Frankie, Jody Hildebrand, a team, really horrific team. So, folks, that's basically our show for today. I want to thank everyone for tuning in. As new things come up in this case, as the civil suit proceeds, as other civil suits undoubtedly will be dropped on Jody Hildebrand, we'll look into that also. But, folks, have a great day. I'm Bill Cannon from Police Off the Cuff Real Crime Stories. Have a great day, and God bless. One episode, just ain't enough.